Good morning. Don't know how many people might have been concerned when they read the program this morning and seen the topic was I don't know. But it didn't mean that I didn't know what I was going to talk about. But for those of you that don't know, we on Wednesday nights recently we've been listening to past lessons. Kelly's organized those lessons for us to listen to, and there was one recently by Tom Dennis that really had me thinking quite a bit. And there isn't a whole lot of time after these lessons to really discuss a whole lot, so I decided, since that had me thinking so much, that I was going to give my thoughts in a lesson. And so that's where my lesson comes from today. He commented in his talk that he didn't understand when people, even in the church, in our churches, were asked if they were saved, and they say, I don't know. And he compared it to being asked if you're married and replying, I don't know. I don't know if I'm married. This really stuck in my mind because I've also answered this question as to being saved. I don't know, because it's up to God. If you go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and verse 6, it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And this is the verse that he used in his talk when he was addressing this. And to believe in God, it means to believe in him and to believe in Christ, and that there is power in the blood, as a song that we just sang. We've got to believe that there is power in the blood. As saying, I don't know, as a response to that question, like saying, I don't know if Christ's blood is powerful enough to save me. Is that what it's like? Does it say that we're not as committed as we should be, and we know it? Is the commitment you give to God more like a New Year's resolution? Unfortunately, we don't concentrate very well a lot, and I think we all can see ourselves that way, that our commitment to God is more likely compared to a New Year's resolution where we fall off the wagon so quickly. Are you diligently serving God? In order to achieve a goal, you have to put your all into it. And to me, I think sports is a good teacher of that. And if you don't give it your all in sports, there's a good chance you're going to get beat by somebody. The biggest difference in that and serving God is if you are diligent, you can all, every one of you, can get to heaven and achieve your goal. There's not a loser. There doesn't have to be a loser. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And if we all diligently seek him, we can all get to the goal. How hard are you willing to commit yourself to the faith? No works can make us worthy. We can never be good enough to earn heaven. And that's a point that Tom made in his talk as well. He compared us to a filthy towel. In God's eyes, that's what we look like. I thought about bringing one from that the mechanics use in our garage at work and having it up there. I mean, that's how we look to God. We're not clean. But Christ can make even that horribly dirty towel clean and pure because of his blood. His blood is the only thing that cleanses us enough to make us worthy. We have to have faith that his blood can do that. We are disgusting to God, but Christ is beautiful to God because he always reacted perfectly. He was our perfect sacrifice. If we believe in the power of his blood, it should lead us to diligently serving God. If we truly believe that, then we should have no problem diligently serving God out of our gratitude for his and for Christ's sacrifice on our behalf. Since Christ's blood is a cleansing power, has cleansing power, can we go ahead and be sinful because we believe that Christ's blood is all powerful and can cleanse us from every stain? No, we shouldn't. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 5 and 7, "And then the devil taketh him into the holy city, and setteth him up upon a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." This was when Satan was tempting Christ, and Jesus said unto him, "It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." We shouldn't go out and try to tempt the Lord with our poor behavior. There are a lot of things in this world that we might find appealing other than God, but our service to God should come first and foremost. And it is the most beneficial thing that we can devote ourselves to. Nothing else can give us the happiness that we look for other than Christ. Everything else leaves us empty in the end. If you go to 1 Timothy 4 and 8, it says, For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now and of that which is to come. If we devote ourselves to bodily exercise, yeah, it's good for us now. It makes us look good now to other people and might keep us healthy longer, but in the end, it doesn't do us any good. It's exercising what our soul needs. That's what's gonna do us the most good in the end. And if you go to Galatians, the 2nd chapter, and verses 16 through the end of the chapter, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but the faith of Jesus Christ, even we that have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus, and not by the works of the law, nor by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if when we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things that are destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who lived in me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ has died in vain." We need to look for what God looks for. In ourselves, we need to be looking to see if we can find that thing that God is looking for, to make sure it's there. In 2 Peter, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14. It says, "Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him, peace, without spot and blameless." This is how we want to be found by God. And over in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 and 2, it says, If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. So we should be willing to seek those things that are above, and not so much have our cares cast upon things on this earth, if we're truly and diligently seeking Christ. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 2. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile, and hypocrites and envies, and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." And if you remember in Luke, the second chapter, when Christ was not with his parents when he was 12 years old, and he was speaking with the high ups, and they were marveled at the things that he was able to talk about. They looked all over for him, trying to find him, and finally, when they found him, he said, "Why are you looking for me? Didn't you know that I'd be about my father's business? Shouldn't that be more of what we are? Shouldn't we also be about our father's business? If we do, then we will be rewarded." Matthew, the 6th chapter, verse 33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." We will get a reward if we seek those things that God looks for us to seek. John, in the 4th chapter, verses 23 and 24. "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." God also expects us in this worship to hate sin as he hates sin. Sometimes we can be guilty of ranking some sins as worse than others. Some sins are more disgusting to us than others, and that shouldn't be. All these things that we have listed in the Bible as being sinful, they're all sinful, and they can all lead us to the same place that we don't want to be. We shouldn't be ranking sins, because that can lead us to going into sin thinking it's not as big of a deal. It is a big deal. We are to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and when we're actively sinning or letting ourselves be led into temptation, we're not being diligent. And I think that's what scares us when we answer that question of whether we're saved. We should be diligent. So many scriptures that show how, there are so many different scriptures that show how important the dedication and diligence is, that it should be no doubt how important it is to us that God mentions it this many times. I was surprised at how many scriptures came up when I went to look up diligence in the Bible, and it was hard to weed some of them out for the lesson. Could go on and on about all these different scriptures that teach us how dedicated we need to be. James, the 1st chapter, verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord giveth which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. God has promised us a reward when we diligently seek him. Romans 12:2, it says, and be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We should transform ourselves for God. We should have no trouble being willing to do that when he asks us to do these things for him. In Hebrews, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 12, there is, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, for which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered unto the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful and followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. God tells us he wants our commitment and our service. Man tells us there is no God. Serve yourself and do whatever makes you happy. This is a self-pleasing society that we live in. Don't worry about pleasing God. That's what they want you to believe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 57 through 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We know what we've been promised. We don't want to be doing our works in vain. We want the reward at the end. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 10, it says, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. If you do these things, you shall never fail. If we keep God's commandments, we will be rewarded by him. If you go to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verses 6 through 7. It reads, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Is the devil going to devour you? Some of you might. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come into repentance. He wants everybody here to be saved. He loves every one of us. He doesn't want to punish us, but if we don't want to serve him, then we give him no choice. Are you saved? Are you harboring that thought in the back of your mind, saying, I don't think I'm very diligent and I know it? If you're harboring those thoughts and you want to clarify that in your life and reaffirm your commitment to God, then you have an opportunity to come forward and we can help you. If you haven't came forward and said you want to be a diligent servant of God and you haven't been baptized, you need to do that as well if you're seeing yourself as being ready to take on a commitment to God and do His will. You have those opportunities now as we stand and sing the invitation song.